Please open your Bibles to Revelation 21 once more. Every Christian looks forward to going to heaven, amen? And we will be there. What do you look forward to in heaven? What do you think heaven will be like? Some people project what they like on earth into heaven. And so they say, look forward to baseball and I win every game, or hunting and fishing. I'm sorry, there's no baseball, hunting, or fishing in heaven. It's not the happy hunting grounds, and it's not a baseball stadium. People will say, oh, there are dogs in heaven. Martin Luther and John Wesley thought they were, because they said, well, everything alive will be resurrected one day. If so, this will be a pretty busy earth during the millennium if every animal that's ever died will be resurrected. I just say, I don't know. So as a pastor, people will often ask me unusual questions, often from the little children, asking about heaven. What questions do you have about heaven? Sometimes the questions are, will there be such and such in heaven? And the answer sometimes is yes, and sometimes no. This morning, I'd like to look at Revelation 20 and 21 and tell you seven things that will not be in heaven, and then with each one of those, things that will be there. Let's get started. The first one, go back to chapter 20, which is following the second coming of Jesus in chapter 19, the setting up of the millennium, and then at the end of the millennium, verse 10, the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. First thing not in heaven are Satan and the demons. You want to say amen? Please do. No devil lurking around in the new paradise as he was in the first one. Satan and the demons were once angels, good angels in heaven. They sinned, therefore God expelled them from heaven, just like he did Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden when they sinned. They were thrown out. Bible says some of them were sent down to Tartarus, that's a part of Hades, and they're going to stay there, perhaps let out temporarily during the Great Tribulation. Other ones are roaming around the earth now. Sometimes they inhabited people and Jesus cast demons out. But they're never allowed back into heaven. They know what their ultimate doom and destiny is, the lake of fire. And they tremble to think about it, wouldn't you? And if you are lost, you should tremble. In Matthew 8, Jesus came to this demon-possessed person and they said, have you come to torment us before the time? Matthew 25, 41, at the judgment day, Jesus says to lost sinners, depart from me, you cursed ones, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels, and for the lost sinners. That's where they go. They don't go to heaven, never will go. At the second coming, it says that they're loosed temporarily from Hades to cause some trouble during the millennium, and then they're thrown back into hell, and the door to hell is locked forever. The devil and the demons are consigned to eternal torment in the fires of hell forever. So what is not in heaven? The devil and the demons. Now they're not annihilated. None of them will be saved. They're eternally tormented. That's a blessing to us. We will never again be tempted by them. Never again be assaulted by them. Never again be accused by them. They will be gone forever, and there will not be a second fall of the angels. So instead of the bad angels being there, the good angels will be there. You see, there's the positive and the negative. Satan and his demons won't be there, but there'll be Gabriel, and there'll be Michael, and many of the other angels, a great host of millions and millions of angels. We'll get to meet them. Think about that. You'll get to see them. Will they look like what you think they look like? No. You see little pictures, and they look like little Cupid angels with little wings. That's not how the Bible describes them. They're big, majestic, powerful, wise. We'll get to meet them. You'll get to meet angels that have protected you. Bible does talk about angels that protect us invisibly. I've heard people give testimonies that say, you know, it was amazing that I survived this car accident. Now, I don't give much credence to people that say that they've seen angels, but sometimes the account has a ring of truth that they say, you know, I survived this and I don't know how. A good friend of mine early in my Christian life was in a terrible car accident, and the car was smashed up like a tin can, and then it was set on fire. And then he found out some witnesses that were on the other side of the highway said, you know, Walt, something unusual happened. Two men came out of nowhere and pulled you out, and then they left, and they had a kind of a glow about them. And so this friend of mine says, I think they were angels that protected me. God may have protected you with an angel. You'll get to meet them. Notice I say him because all angels are male, not female. But you'll get to meet an angel that protected you. Maybe he'll say to you, do you remember a time that this happened and you were in danger and, you know, you couldn't understand it? And you say, yeah, what happened? And he'll say, that was me. And you'll be able to say, thank you. But the main thing about being with the good angels, Revelation 5 and 6, we all worship the same God together as we sing his praises with the angels and with Christians together. So that's what's in heaven and what is not in heaven. Number two, turn to one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible, chapter 21, verse 4. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. The second thing, not in heaven, no tears. Oh, yeah, I remember what 30 years ago Eric Clapton composed a very moving song, Tears in Heaven, after his son had died. Sorry, Eric, no tears in heaven. Erwin Lutzer wrote a book on heaven, and he speculated that there will be tears at first because he says they're wiped away, so I guess somebody cries when they get there, but no, it says there'll be no crying. Tears are back here on earth. We all weep. People say, well, women and babies weep more than men, perhaps, but men also weep, usually when they're alone, they're lonely, they go through depression, whatever. We all weep. Babies weep as soon as that doctor gives them a little welcome pat soon after birth, and sometimes we weep on our deathbed. And in between those events, we walk a highway that is watered with our own tears, sometimes more than at other times. But it says here, no more tears. Dear brethren, the time will come shortly before you die. You will weep your very last tear. And then there will be no more when you get to heaven. And it says here, God himself will wipe away those tears. Remember when I was a little boy, some of you remember my elderly mother, when I was a little boy and I'd scrape my knee or hurt myself and I'd be crying and Mom would get down on her knees, lift up her apron and tenderly wipe away my tears. Some of you have precious memories of your mother doing that. The Bible says God himself will do this individually to all of us because we are his children. And think of all the things that you have wept for, sadness, grief. God will wipe away all tears. There'll be no more reason to weep. Instead, there'll be tears of joy. Have you ever wept when you were just so happy you felt like dancing and tears come down your face? You're just so happy. And I don't just mean when the Cubs won the World Series. I mean at other times you're so happy that some bad thing is over, or you graduate, or you got that promotion, you say, hun, let's celebrate. I'm so happy. There will be joy in heaven, but not tears of joy. The book of Genesis, when Joseph was reunited with his 11 brothers and with his father, it says that he hugged them and wept out of joy. We will have joy, but without the tears. Perhaps we will have dry tears. Spurgeon said God will transform our tear ducts for other purposes. But if you're like me, when you get to heaven and see Jesus, I'd like to say, Jesus, could you make one exception? I'd like to be like the woman in Luke 7 that wept on your feet. Would you let me do that? My last tears for you. And then, no more tears. Why? There'll be no more sadness, as it says here. No sorrow, no pain, no cause for weeping. No more tears. That'll be wonderful. The third thing that's not in heaven is also in this verse. Look at it. There shall be no more death. No more physical death. There'll be no graveyards or funeral homes in heaven. Everybody is alive. Remember, Jesus said, he that believeth in me shall never die. He also says, I give them eternal life. That's not just in our souls, but in our bodies. We will live forever and ever. Every week we have a couple of worship services at local nursing homes, and there's a song we sing every couple of months. Some of you remember Mansion Over the Hilltop? Remember the line that says, in that bright land where we'll never grow old. That touches some of the old folks down there at the nursing home and touches some that are younger, the staff. It's a land where we'll never grow old. Oh, yes, we keep going on and on, but we don't suffer the things that we have back in this life as we grow old. There'll be no death, but instead, perfect health. No hospitals, no doctors, there's no need for them. We will have new bodies, young, strong, handsome, healthy, totally immune from any disease or ailment or afflictions. We'll be healthy and we'll go on living. We'll be older than Methuselah. He died at 969, but we'll go on millions and millions. We will be immortal. Philippians 3, 20 and 21 says, in our resurrection bodies, we will be glorified to have bodies just like Jesus' body. 1 Corinthians 15 says his was immortal. Not only would it not die again, it could not die. That's us. We will be immortal, healthy, living forever and ever. Now that's our bodies, but also our spirits. When Adam and Eve sinned, their souls died, and later their bodies died. We were born with dead souls. They're regenerated when we are born again. And they will stay alive for all eternity. Forever, spiritually alive, pulsating with holy thoughts and spiritual feelings within our hearts. So there'll be no more death whatsoever. No more death again. It's not like in heaven, oh, did you hear about Joe? No, what happened? Well, poor Joe died. We know what it's like to get death notices of a friend or a relative. Christmas is coming. Almost every year I get a Christmas card back from a relative that says, well, I guess you didn't hear that sister such and such passed away since last Christmas. That won't happen in heaven. Nobody dies. Everybody is perfectly alive. There'll be Christians there. And only Christians, no more death. Now, in light of a message I preached 2 weeks ago, let me clarify something. No, there won't be any babies in heaven. I'm smiling because you remember what I preached on. All dying infants are elect. They all go to heaven, but they don't stay as babies. So that was tricky old Pastor Daniel. No babies in heaven. Because they are immediately transformed and they are alive in brand new adult bodies. The fourth thing that's not in heaven, look back again at this verse. There shall be no more death nor sorrow. Think of the things that make you sad. And I'm not just thinking of where you watch some soap opera on TV or some sad movie and you say, oh, that's so sad, but it's only make-believe. But we grieve and sorrow over other things. A loved one passes away. Your parents, your grandparents, your spouse, your child. Many of us have lost a dear relative, and we know what it's like. You that haven't been there, it's going to happen to you one day. And it always hurts more than you think. Remember when I heard my father die, and I was driving down the highway in Texas to go there to be with him. My sister had phoned and says, come quickly, he's just died. And I remember I had to pull over the side of the road, and I cried like a baby. It hurt. That's Daddy. And then when my mother died, that's Mama. She's gone. Many of you know what that's like. You grieve. That's not in heaven. That's here on earth. Because everybody is alive there. There's no funerals. There's no need to grieve anymore. We sometimes grieve when we remember someone that passed away even many years ago. In heaven, even the memories of those loved ones that had died will not cause us any more grief. There's no sorrow or grief of any kind, even in our memory banks. Sometimes we sorrow out of worry or fear or any other negative emotions. There will be no negative emotions in heaven, only positive ones like joy, peace, and love. There'll be no regrets. Sometimes a young man or a young woman gets homesick. They go off to college or they join the military and they get homesick like at Christmas and they say, oh, I wish I was back home. When we get to heaven, we're not homesick for back on earth. People on earth will miss us and will grieve. When we get to the land of hope and glory, we will not want to go back to earth. I like to put a smile on this. Remember when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead? Where was Lazarus? His body was in the grave. His soul was in heaven. Lazarus, come forth. I can just picture Lazarus saying, no, I don't want to go back to earth. That terrible place filled with sin. Lazarus, come on out. Come on out. Later you can go back up to heaven. Nobody in heaven wants to come back here. They are not homesick. They are not grieving. There's no regrets. Will not say, oh, I wish that I was still back on earth to see my children or grandchildren grow up. Nope, no regrets. You'll be home at last. But there are other forms of sorrow. And some of you know what it's like. Depression. Depression is often the silent grief that some people have and that those that don't experience it don't understand it, and so they often give well-meaning but cruel remedies to people that say, I weep every day. I drown my pillow with my tears. I can't get victory over this. There are people that you know that go through deep, dark depression. But if you are here today and you're a Christian and you suffer depression, I want to give you God's hope. That is all for this life. It ends the moment you die. Nobody suffers depression in heaven ever. Even the tears of depression dry up the moment you get there. There's no loneliness. There's no fear. There's loneliness that people have because they're not married. They've been widowed. They've been divorced. And they say, I feel all alone. It's not like that in heaven. In heaven, you're with your spiritual family, and wherever you go, you'll never be truly alone because you are with God. So you see, no more sorrow, depression, loneliness, not even grief. Now, this is a deep subject. Not even grief as you think about lost people that are not in heaven, that are in hell. You will not feel grief for them. We'll talk about that in another message. Rather, when you think about those that are in hell, What will go through your heart? Relief that you are not in hell. That will move you to say, Lord, thank you. I deserve to be there with them. And you will see all things as God sees them. And you'll say, Lord, thank you for choosing me, for saving me from hell and taking me to heaven. No sorrow, but instead, perfect peace. Rest. I ask a lady that was a school teacher, what do you look forward to in heaven? She said, rest, finally. I have to work all these extra hours to teach. Perfect rest. Richard Baxter, the great Puritan, wrote a book about that thick called The Saints' Everlasting Rest. Verse in the book of Revelation says, they shall rest from all their labors. There will be peace, love, and joy. Not only that, instead of sorrow, better get ready for this one. Jesus says there's going to be laughter and dancing up there. He said, woe to you that laugh now, you will one day weep. But how blessed are you that weep now, you will one day laugh, a holy laughter. And the verses in the Bible even says, we'll be so happy, we'll just dance. If you've been so happy, just do that little happy dance. It's going to be like that in heaven. Smiles everywhere. You remember what Jesus says to his people at the judgment day? He says, come you blessed of my Father, enter into the joy of your Lord. We get to the source of joy directly from God. God is a happy God. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit are perfectly happy enjoying each other. We get to imbibe of that joy forever. Number five. Again, Revelation 21:4. No more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. Oh, this is good. There shall be no more pain. No more physical pain. We have never gone one day in our life without feeling some tinge of pain. Think about it. Backache, headache, stomachache. Some of us that are on the other side of midlife, we think of Mr. Arthur. You know who Mr. Arthur is? Arthritis. Oh, you just wait. You get it in your shoulder, your neck, your back. No arthritis. No backache. Any afflictions. None of them. No toothaches. No diseases. Nothing that can cause pain. No symptoms of pain, because symptoms of pain come from a root cause, an affliction. There's no afflictions anymore. Now, as we go through this life, we pick up, you know, a temporary cold, flu, or we have an accident. Some of our noble veterans that have seen combat come back and they have a wound that never fully heals. Someone in high school wounds his knee and he has a little bit of a limp every day for the rest of his life. There are many other afflictions that we have. And the pain comes and goes, and we try to take painkillers and various kinds of medicines. All that ends when we get to heaven. Oh, dear brethren, I think of some of you and the pain that you've gone through, and I know some of you and the afflictions you have. That all ends when you get to heaven. No more pain of any kind whatsoever, not physical pain. Or any kind of physical or spiritual pain. As I've said, no depression, no loneliness, no sorrow, no pain, but only perfect pleasure, joy. Now, I don't mean the kind of pleasure that the Muslims say, oh, I want to get to paradise. For them, it's a place of sensual pleasure, getting drunk and immorality and all of that. But the Bible describes the true pleasure we have is the joy of the Lord. The Bible says, in thy presence is fullness of joy forever. So again, what's not there is pain. What is there is perfect pleasure, spiritual and physical, greater than we can imagine. Number six, skip down now to verse 8. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Same place that the devil and the false prophet and the Antichrist go to in chapter 20, verse 10. So what is number six? There are no lost sinners in heaven. No unrepentant sinners against God. The only people there are sinners that repented. They believed, they got saved. There are no exceptions to this. Jesus told a parable about someone that tried to sneak into a wedding feast that didn't belong there. If an unbelieving lost sinner that is still in love with the shackles of sin in his heart somehow made it up there, he'd feel out of place. He'd be thrown out. But of course, there are no such persons up there. Only Christians are in heaven. All the rest of them, as it says here, are in hell. There are no unrepentant criminals or terrorists. Yes, there are sinners there, but there are ones that have been saved and redeemed, and they're perfected up there. We will be reunited with other Christians. Revelation 5:9 says there will be Christians there from every race and tribe and language and people group around the world. It'll be a happy reunion with people you once knew that are now in heaven. Won't that be good? I'm looking forward to seeing my mother and my grandmother. I've been told that 150 years ago, there was a Baptist preacher I'm descended from. I look forward to meeting him. We will be reunited. And that's part of the happiness of heaven. In the Middle Ages, somebody painted a picture of heaven and showed all these people in heaven had little halos on their heads. And you know what they were doing? They're all smiling. Everybody going around hugging each other. It's a great reunion. It's like a family party. Jesus said it's like a wedding feast and a banquet. But there are no lost sinners there. If a lost sinner sneaked in there, he'd soon sin his way out and be expelled. There's one more thing about heaven, number seven. Look over at the end of this chapter, chapter 21, verse 27. There shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. What does this tell us? There's no more sin in heaven. You can go to the furthest outreaches of heaven or the new earth, and wherever you go is perfectly holy. The light of God's glory shows everywhere. There's not even a shadow of sin under anything. It's all holy, or as it says in the Old Testament prophesying, holiness unto the Lord. There'll be holiness everywhere, no sin anywhere, including inside of us. We were born in sin. We were born with sin in us. It is taken out. When? The moment we die, it's left in our bodies in the grave, and our souls are immediately transformed and glorified. Don't have to go to any supposed place called purgatory. No need. Listen to this wonderful verse, Hebrews 12:23. The spirits of just men made perfect. The moment we die, our souls, our spirits are perfectly glorified in holiness, so that everybody we meet in heaven is holy as much as Michael or Gabriel, the angels. We are made sinlessly perfect. But more than that, we are not made innocent and sinless like Adam and Eve. You say, what's the difference? Well, they could sin, and they did sin, and then they later died. Wages of sin is death. When we get to heaven, we will not only not sin, we cannot sin. We are raised to a higher level than Adam and Eve before the fall. They could sin, they did sin. Not in heaven. They could die, and they did die. We will be granted immortality. We will be given impeccability. What's that? That's more than simply being innocent, and we're not on probation like Adam and Eve. We are now granted that ability not to sin. We will never be able to sin. We will be impeccable like Jesus was, not like the first Adam. And just like I said, the time will come we will weep our last tear. The time will come right before we die, we commit our very last sin. We've sinned every day in our lives, sometimes more than others, more consciously. Not in heaven. Therefore, right before we cross the river and cross over into heaven, one last sin, whatever it is, may even be while you're in your sleep. But no more sin. No more fear of a fall number two. There'll be no temptation, no devil out there, no sin within us. And God will guarantee no more sin whatsoever. Do we value that when we think about heaven? People say, well, I want baseball. Throw those ideas aside. Raise your scope even higher. How many of us say, oh, I want to go where there's no more sin, no more temptation? I'll tell you a story that still moves me. About 3 years ago, a very dear brother that he and his wife helped us out at the nursing home for many years, and they had done nursing home ministry for many years beyond that, and he had served for 29 years in the United States Navy. He was on a nuclear submarine and had an ensign named Jimmy Carter. You remember him? President Carter? Well, this was a fine Christian, dear brother Mal. And he helped us out. Oh, he loved Jesus. But then at age 89, he contracted cancer and was dying. I regularly went to his bedside. And I still remember sitting there with Mel and I said, Mel, it won't be long. You'll be with Jesus. What do you look forward to? He says, oh, to be with Jesus. Oh. And I said, what else, Mel? Racked with pain, he lifted his body up and said, no more sin. Oh, no more sin, Kurt. Is that a deep cry within your heart? Remember, there's an old spiritual anchor. Grieve my Lord no more, no more. We're never going to grieve him. We'll never sin. No more, no more. There'll be no more war, no more crime, no more danger. No immorality, no lying, no idolatry, no cursing. Holiness everywhere, in all of our thoughts, our feelings. We will always keep not only the Ten Commandments, but the two love commandments. Think about that. We will always love God. We will always love other people. Always. Without any doubt. Why? Because there's no sin, but only holiness. All of this is in stark contrast with the other place, hell. Think about it. Lost sinners join Satan and the demons in hell. Depart from me into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. No lost sinners or demons up in heaven. They're all down in hell. There's no joy but only sorrow, and there's no more weeping in heaven, but in hell, Jesus says, there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Those in heaven enjoy immortality. Those in hell have an eternal death. Jesus calls it here the second death. In heaven, there is no pain, but only pleasure. It's the exact opposite in hell. All pain and no pleasure, not even the memory of pleasure. It'll be all physical and spiritual pain. In heaven, no sin, but in hell, there'll be sin without any of the enjoyments of it. But both places are eternal and permanent. So you see, they're two equal but diametrically opposite destinies. And in light of what the Bible says about these two, which one will be your destiny? Will you go to an eternal home of joy and glory with your Lord Jesus? Or will Jesus say to you, depart from me, you cursed one, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels? Brethren, let's invite people to heaven and warn them of hell. These are just seven things that are and are not in heaven. But of course, I've left out the best. And you know what that is, of course. When you get to heaven and look around, you see Christians, you see angels, life, joy. What's the most obvious thing about heaven? God. God everywhere. We will see him. Revelation 22, 4, they shall see his face. We will be in the presence of God. Those in hell will be in the presence of the devil forever. The best thing about heaven is being with God. Dear brethren, may this message this morning encourage all of us on the way to heaven. Let us pray. Father, how can we ever thank you enough for saving us and guaranteeing our eternal destiny with you? Thank you that there will be no more death, sorrow, tears, sin, but most of all, we will be with you and our precious Lord Jesus forever. In Jesus' name, amen.